a hearty fry.
Good evening. I was asked to talk about three things that I sometimes most remember about the whole 8 years or 4.5 years I spent in the organization. My first one was after we had left. The first big memory was the night that Swerner, Goodman, and Cheney was killed. We were all in Oxford, Ohio, at a college, and Bob Moses walked out and told us we were leaving for Mississippi the next day and told us that he had something to tell us. We could all tell that something was up. And he told us that they were missing. And he also told us that Swerner, Goodman, and Cheney were missing, and they were more likely that they were dead, had been seriously injured. A young lady in the audience, Jean, I think it was, got up and started singing, "Freedom is a Mighty Struggle." We all stood up, and we all sang, and we all walked out, and all of us except, I think, one or two people went to Mississippi the next day. The second most thing that they said to me was the first person I got to register to vote. She's no longer with us now. Her name is Rita Walker. I can remember with Frank Chicharka and a few other people. Frank is not here as well. And we went and knocked on her door, and we said that we were from the Civil Rights Movement, Freedom Movement, SNCC, and we were here to register to vote. And she said, "By golly, how long did it take y'all? Where in the hell you been?" And she said, "I've been waiting on you, we've been waiting on you freedom riders, and you finally get here." And she was the first person I got registered to vote, and she also joined SNCC, and she was a tough person to fight for us, her and her husband, Sid Walker. Third thing I remember was in Jackson, Mississippi, in about, I don't remember, 68 or 69, we had some demonstrations, and they literally picked us up in garbage trucks. They backed us up, stopped us, put us in the garbage truck. John Lewis was with us, and they hauled us off to a jail, and they gassed us. What they did was they put us in one of these county fairgrounds, and they backed Jeeps up to the thing, and they turned on the engines. And they were trying to find it right out. One of the great things about that experience was everybody in SNCC was a leader, and they didn't understand that. And so, therefore, they was trying to figure out who was leading. And I was one of the first ones that they picked to say he might be leading something. And so they drug me off to jail and put me in isolation. And I was in isolation for about 2 days when I met one of my, a young man. He is my friend. He's in the audience. Who I heard somebody come with somebody that was dragging him down the hallway. And he was reading all kind of hell. And his name is Scott B. Smith. And they put him in the cell with me. And so I had to put up with it for 3 or 4 days, as well as he beat me out of my breakfast every morning on some kind of way. But also in the jail cell was John Lewis, was also there. And it was a big argument. And Charlie Evans was in jail with us. And Charlie Evans left the next morning. He told us that we could stay in jail, but he was leaving. And the next morning we heard Charlie Evans on the radio in Chicago making a speech about our being arrested. He was out, we were still in. And John Lewis was in. And the other day when John Lewis was almost spit on and called all kind of names and I was going crazy, my wife was asking me why I was going crazy because I would hit the guy in the mouth, I swear, if I had been there. John Lewis was in there. So that's the second time I saw John that when I got out of jail, and I've seen him one time since that. And next time I saw him, he was on TV being disgraced. The final thing that I think made everything exciting for me was there's a young lady now, her name is Pam, her name is Chewy now, but we call her Pam at that time, that was her name, and we went to Oxford, Mississippi, where sometimes when I look at the University of Mississippi and all these black football players and basketball players, and everybody's all excited. We went to outside of Oxford, Mississippi to a rally, and when we left the rally, some people in the community told us that a mob was waiting on us. So some people, the white people, the Klansmen down the road. It was about maybe 10 or 12 of us, if that many. And we had women, men, and we had the one Asian guy in the whole movement at that time named Carl from Hawaii. They chased us and they took us into downtown and they got out, and when they stopped us in downtown Oxford, they had a mob, a little mob standing over to the right, cheering at us and calling us all kind of names. And the sheriff went up and down the line and asked everybody their name and to identify themselves. Karen Costler was there. What you doing here, girl? You look like a nice girl. Carl was there. What you doing here, man? You should be in the laundry. He literally said that. Why ain't you working in the laundry? Chan Eastman, Pam, and all of us. And then they told us, with this mob just seizing to get to us, they told us we could leave. And we were torn. And Cleve Sellers was with us. We were torn because we had been told during training, don't leave. Because it's dangerous to leave. Just stay around it where people can see it. And we were given a choice, and we decided to leave. And they chased us back to Holly Springs. They didn't go all the way to Holly Springs. They chased us about 5 miles. And we pulled over a rising, and we saw a car light coming out. And Cleve was driving. I was in the car with Cleve and another. And we literally ducked our heads. I don't know what good that would have done, but we ducked our heads and we drove through this thing. And it wasn't the Klan, obviously, but it was somebody on the side of the road, a car light. And we thought we might were going to be ambushed. I have many more of those stories, but I think the most important thing about all of my experiences with the people I met. Thank you.
Thank you, Hardy. Hardy mentioned two people who were here. The man that shared his cell, Scott B. Can you stand up?